cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. It's so good to be with you. Today we are going to have a very interesting conversation around this idea of e-commerce. Now, we had a similar conversation about 2 years ago where I personally thought, wow, this is the moment for e-commerce, for businesses and entrepreneurs who want to work in this space. But over this last 24-month period or so that we have been waiting to see it rise, it doesn't seem to be gaining traction here in the country. Justin, you're in the e-commerce space. Is this right or wrong? Am I right or wrong? And I'm okay with being wrong.
Thanks very much. So you asked me to introduce myself. So I'm the CEO of a business called ParcelNinja.com. We're an outsourced warehouse and distribution business focusing on e-commerce and e-commerce implementation. So when guys have challenges around their distribution of product, they come to us and we do all of the sort of management and distribution of their products for them, obviously focusing on e-commerce.
Yeah.
So just to come back to your initial question regarding the success of e-commerce over the last 24 months, or rather, from your opinion, the lack of success, I think it's a nuanced question to answer, and
okay,
it can take a bit of, it probably needs an in-depth review, but I think that in certain areas or aspects or channels and, let's call it verticals, e-commerce has done really well in South Africa, and in others, not so well. So let's just take a comparison. So we say, if we look at maybe the grocery retail sector in South Africa, we have a look, we've still got the likes of a Pick and Pay,
yeah,
we've still got a Woolworths, and they're still doing their thing in a grocery retail. We haven't really seen a Spa or Checkers or one of those guys come online.
Sure.
So from that aspect, we could probably say that, listen, the industry hasn't taken off as well as it should have. But then at the same time, the fact that the Woolworths and the Pick and Pays are still here means there's something happening. And I can comment and say that I know that the guys at Pick and Pay are investing heavily in this sort of sector. So they must be seeing something happening there. So while it might not have taken off as well as everyone thought or anticipated, there's definitely some action in the space and there's definitely something happening. I guess the retailers don't always disclose their figures from an online sales perspective.
Sure.
So you'd have to surmise or guess what they're doing. But they must be doing something that they're putting a lot of effort into it. So that's from a grocery perspective. If we take a look then at, let's call it general merchandise, or, like your, let's call it white goods and generic sort of products.
Yeah.
We have like effectively two big players in that space. We have the Takealots.
Sure.
Who've been around for a while.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're investing heavily in both the distribution side of things together with investing in their warehousing and their product mix. And they seem to be doing quite well from a revenue perspective and getting scale and are investing heavily in the business. I mean, when last I had a look, I think they had 40 vacancies or 30 to 40 vacancies in their sort of technical department.
Sure.
And if you're looking for 30 to 40 programmers, you must be
doing something right.
Well, you're looking to build a sizable business in that space.
Yeah.
Or invest heavily in technology or use that technology to leapfrog the existing bricks and mortar stores. And at the same time, there's also a relatively small player in the online retail space, which is actually becoming quite sizable. And those are the guys at Makro.
Yes, yes.
And I'm sure you would have noticed over the last year that Makro has not been messing around. And just to disclose, I mean, we work with Makro in a number of areas in the business.
Okay.
And they have definitely got the appetite to do something in e-commerce right. And they definitely seem to be getting there.
Mm.
And if we can look at the December or the Christmas shopping sort of Black Friday sort of experience, there's definitely been movement of customers from like traditional bricks and mortar to the online space. I mean, I guess this is maybe anecdotal, but just to speak to your friends who did their shopping online this year.
Good point.
Is something compared to 2 years ago, there's something there as well.
Mm.
I mean, in fact, I don't know none of my friends actually went and bought product in the normal bricks and mortar stores.
Interesting.
Everyone was shopping online. And then when you add the Black Friday component to that, which was driven heavily online, I think that it took a lot of money out of the sort of retail space on that Black Friday / Cyber Sunday sort of period. And there was definitely a huge uptick year on year from a Black Friday perspective.
But are we still early adopters though? So are we still stuck trying to capture an audience that are keeping up with what is perhaps, I can't say perhaps, I've got some research right here in front of me that says it's not perhaps, and we'll look at that in a moment, but are we still trying to look or trying to gain access or control of a market that is quite small here in South Africa, here locally? are we early adopters? That was my original question. Are we still there?
Well, I think that when you talk about early adopters, let's just break it down within South Africa. I think that myself, I'm obviously sort of, let's just call it cutting edge, bleeding edge, early adopters. I like to try out new things. And so I've been shopping online for a number of years. But at the same time, I use my mom as a barometer of the industry.
Yep.
And when my mom was willing to buy stuff online, then I think it's starting to become a little bit more mainstream. I mean, she doesn't bank online yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably don't want her to bank online, funny enough, risk perspective. But from a retail perspective, she's quite comfortable actually putting her credit card number in and buying something online.
Okay.
So I think the days of being nervous about online are over. Now I think the challenge is really about how to access that sort of middle class or that up and coming middle class and give them products that are relevant to them.
Mm.
Because there's no point in offering sort of, let's call this highly aspirational goods online at decent margins when that's not actually what the people are asking for. So I think the challenge is for the retailers to get the product mix right. And at the same time, let's also remember that not every product is well geared for online. In other words, you can't sell everything online. You've got to remember there's a cost of distribution.
Yeah.
And so small or cheapish products within the South African context are not well suited for online. In other words, if you have a product that costs 30 rand and the cost of delivery is 50 rand, that's probably prohibitive.
Yeah.
And the guys aren't going to be shopping online. So the real question is, how do you solve those sort of problems as opposed to trying to get more people to shop online? So how do you make it more accessible to everybody else? And I think over the last bit of time, we've seen these pickup points developing and pickup points from let's call it Postnet, or these boxes that you see around, together with there's a company called Pargo, which do delivery to Clicks and another sort of shopping centers. And so there's solutions being developed that are going to be relevant to help lower their cost of distribution. And once that sort of starts picking up pace, then I think people will be willing to shop online a lot more. And at the same time, don't forget, online has one very convenient factor we find, is that you can compare prices to get the best deal.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
So when you're comparing the best deal for people that don't have a lot of cash or a large disposable income, and they're getting cost of distribution that is incredibly low, then it's a compelling offer for them. But when you're trying to sell these guys Rolex watches all that's not going to work.
Mm. So let's put ourselves in the shoes of a very early stage, maybe even at idea stage, entrepreneur who wants to sell something online. Just talk us through, from your experience, what kind of market do you need to be profitable? Of course, that's going to be specific to their product and these kinds of things. But what's the numbers? How many people do you need coming through your system? How many people do you need to be converting in order to actually
make cash?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think a lot of the guys that start these online businesses don't start online retail businesses to make a lot of money. They start it because they're quite passionate about a particular product or a particular sector or a particular sort of, or have a different reason for doing it.
Okay.
And I think that's inherently where we see a lot of these sort of mom and pop online retail businesses. It's a lot of people that might have a bit of spare time. They like a particular product and they want to surprise, delight, inform other people about this product. And so they're great at buying products and selling products. What they're bad at is actually getting the products to the people.
Sure.
And at the same time, you've got to be realistic of your expectations. So if you think that what you're going to be doing, you're going to be making paper mache dolls and selling them online and being the next billionaire, you've got to sit down and just assess the situation, be realistic of what you're doing here. At the same time, you can't be a take-a-lot. You can't be selling the same things a take-a-lot are selling, or a Loot or a Macro, because you don't want to be selling the same products that they're selling, because they have a better distribution network than you. They've got a larger customer base than you. They need to make less margins than you. And so where I think the opportunity is there's markets in these niches.
Yeah.
And there's gaps in the markets, or the markets in the gaps, I guess. And that sort of approach needs to happen. So in other words, try to find something that is niche enough where you can make enough money off it, but also so you can make enough margin off it, but also there's a little bit of scale there so that you can at least make money every month. And that's what we see, is that we see that the guys that are doing a little bit better start out with one or two products in a particular niche,
sure,
and they expand from there, as opposed to going with this big bang approach. And at the same time, I think gone are the days that you need to hire a development team and a marketing manager and a Google PPC expert. And all of that information is freely available online for you to research. And if you actually want to be a business owner, you should be reading about this sort of stuff. You should be reading about this stuff more frequently and learning about it. So when you do launch your business, you have a little bit of knowledge around these sort of products, because they're so core, fundamental to an online business. If you don't know Google PPC, if you don't know Facebook advertising, if you don't know Google Analytics, you can have a serious challenge running the business.
Sure.
So before you even start the business, I think you need to do a bit of research and learning about the tools that are accessible and out there. And this is all available online. The next thing is, you don't need to go build a technology stack or technology. It's not a tech business. You're selling products. So you can go get a Shopify or a Magento or a WooCommerce or one of those freely available platforms, get a theme from somewhere, pay the $29 a month and actually have your business online and set up. And it'll take you literally a week.
It can, and it really can.
It really can take less than a week. In fact, it can take a few hours. It's really, really not difficult to do. So I think that between getting the product mix right, setting up your website and getting that all together, that's relatively simple. You take your products, you send them to me, and I'll handle the distribution for you if you need. But really, after that, it's about the marketing and understanding how to find customers and sell the product at the right price. And from there, you can start learning a few things and understanding. And there's enough. At the same time, there's enough knowledge online. There's enough user groups get together on a monthly basis. You can find the people in South Africa that will help you with online.
So let's talk quickly. So you've really bridged the gap with Parcel Ninja. You're not an e-commerce site, but you come in on the e-commerce back end to assist and support. I guess, let me ask it this way. It's your business to try and help e-commerce businesses do good business. Is that accurate?
Correct. So we charge on a pay-as-you-go model, which means that the more you use us, the more we charge you. In the same way, like you said, we're completely aligned with these retail businesses, which is, if you sell lots, we will make money. If you close down, I'll make no money from you.
Yeah.
So it's not in my interest to charge the guys a lot of money with fixed costs. It's all a variable cost model, which means that it's far more flexible for the users. At the same time, that's what we identified. We identified that in this e-commerce space, we think that credit card payments are sorted out, marketing's done already, as I said, with Facebook, Google, etc. The platform is developed with Shopify, Magento. The last component that we see with all these e-commerce guys is they actually have a challenge distributing or getting products out there. And we said, that's an opportunity for us to help improve this entire customer experience and help all the small to medium-sized guys actually have world-class logistics. And the only way to do that is to actually invest a fair amount of money in systems, processes, warehousing, etc. And they don't have the cash. So we set out to raise money and go build a world-class warehouse where everyone can have a little piece of that warehouse and make use of it.
So what has been your biggest challenge in the last period where we haven't seen you, but we've, of course, followed you, seen a little bit of growth? What has been your biggest challenge from – and let's go with an interesting question, which is the e-commerce connection issue. So between you and your clients, what have been some real challenges for you?
Well, I guess we do logistics for around 50 e-commerce sites. So I think we're quite aware of what's happening in the industry, and we also understand the challenges that are happening with a lot of these smaller businesses. This year, at the same time, we do distribution for large organizations. I mean, if we take a look at our business, I can only talk to our business. We've seen a lot of the smaller guys get bigger, but they're coming off a very low base.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm not going to say it's material, but it's not as material as we would like to be in the business. At the same time, we've seen a number, let's just say, let's call it consolidation in the online retail space as well. When I say that, I mean, let's call it consolidation. We could say businesses leaving, in other words, a Groupon.
Sure.
So, I mean, people, you hear a lot of press around, they go, oh, Groupon, you know, they weren't doing well, that's why they'll close down. That's not the case. The guys that ran Groupon were very competent. And the reason why the business was closed down was because the USA operations decided that it was not core to what they do, and it was effectively mandated from overseas.
Mm.
So they were told, listen, I think Groupon closed 16 regions. So I think South Africa, Israel, and a number of others.
Sure.
And that was mandated from the top. So they were actually doing quite well in South Africa. They were actually profitable, and they were doing volume, funnily enough.
Mm.
So they actually had a sustainable business that was doing well. At the same time, we see a lot of smaller guys in South Africa have actually had a far harder time at the same time. So we see that the small guys, I think, are having a toughish time. There's an opportunity because Groupon's left, so there's a bit of a void there for other companies to fill. And I think like Daddy's Deals and those guys are going to probably step into that space. And there's another business called Happily, which is also doing quite well. But in general, I think that the small guys are finding it quite tough in the industry because it's, I guess, like when there are macroeconomic factors in play, which is like general country growth or GDP growth. I think it's difficult for small guys to do well. And I think some of the bigger Oaks guys are also probably having a bit of a hard time. I think e-commerce is actually difficult. Make no mistake, it's not a silver bullet to saving your business, and it's not something that you can just do on the side easily. It actually requires a bit of dedication, a bit of thought, and you've got to be quite savvy. And so the guys that are quite naive about this whole process, we see having a hard time. Sure. And the clever guys, they do okay at this point.
Well, and I hope it's exactly that, just at this point. Let's go into, and we were looking at this off air. We have a table here. It's been released by Yahoo Finance. It's really just a comparison table between brick and mortar retail, the retail market, and then the big player, Amazon. And how a Best Buy, JCPenney, Macy's, Nordstrom's,
Target.
Yeah, exactly. They are all struggling here. They all are. So let me just read one or two here. In 2006, JCPenney's market value was $18.1 billion. Today, it's $3 billion. Nordstrom, $12.4 billion. Today, $9.8 billion. Target, $51.3. Now it's $43.8. So all we're seeing is a negative growth trend here, negative value. But then, right at the bottom of the list, which is, of course, the point of this, and we'll share it online as well, is Amazon. 2006 was valued at $7.5 billion. Now, $351.8 billion. That's 1,910% growth. That's what they have here. How do we compete against Amazon? Can we compete against Amazon? This is a giant. Can we consider them a monopoly?
Well, I think what they're saying is they want to see 2017 if Amazon can become one of the first $1 trillion businesses in the US, first $1 trillion business.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Which is interesting. And don't forget, Amazon has a few aspects to its business. It's not just the Amazon. There's Amazon, there's AWS or their web services business, which is the biggest, let's call it, cloud-based computing business in the world. I think if you take the next 9 competitors in the cloud sort of environment and add up their sales, they don't even come up to what Amazon does, to give you some idea. And at the same time, Amazon owns a number of other businesses with Zappos and Diapers and a few others. So I'm not going to say they're diversified, but they have a few other interests. Obviously, pale in comparison to the Amazon. But I think what's interesting about Amazon is that while they are a online retail business, they're also a tech business. They're moving into like drone delivery, Amazon Echo, and a number of these other things that we don't even see, touch, or hear about within South Africa. And they are heavily funded, well-funded, and they've got money. And I think that's what's interesting in what's happening in the US context is that they identify that this online retail business is only getting bigger. Less people going in traditional retail businesses, and they're not sure what's going to happen, if we could say that. Is Amazon going to launch its own online retail, physical retail distribution network? People saying they might. And what they're doing is they're discounting these other companies because they don't have the same sort of aggressive / technology DNA built into these businesses. And the guys at Amazon are just going hard at this. And I think that while in South Africa we don't have an Amazon equivalent, I think that the Takealot guys, with their heavy focus on tech and technology and systems and those sort of things, might evolve into something the equivalent within South Africa or Africa. And it's up to the macros and the likes of other retailers to sort of identify this early and deal with it appropriately, if I could say that.
So, but I guess back to the question, which is, can you compete? You introduced Takealot into the equation, and can a niche retailer compete?
Well, I think, like I said initially, is that I think if you're going to compete, you're going to compete in the niches. I think that's important. And at the same time, if you're a distributor or you found a great product from overseas you want to sell in South Africa, Takealot has a marketplace, which means that you can sell your products on Takealot. So gone are the days of only worrying about, you know, your own website and selling there. I think people need to be aware of this sort of multi-omni-channel approach, which means that take your product and sell it on multiple places.
Sure.
Sell it on Takealot, sell it on Biddlebar, sell it on Macro, sell it on your own business, sell it on Facebook, and have a number of channels selling your product, because that will give you the volume ultimately. So don't see these guys as necessarily competing, depending on what you do in your business.
Sure.
See them as
a channel.
A channel will let them help you grow your business to a degree.
Is that a smart way to perhaps go about the e-commerce thing, is to create a channel? I mean, it's going to be difficult. You have to then have reach. You have to have a certain kind of audience or footprint.
It depends what you want to do. In other words, if I went to the US and I found a particular product that I thought was going to be amazing in South Africa and I wanted to sell that, but in order to test it out, I wanted to buy a small quantity from the US and sell it in South Africa, I'd start by selling it on Takealot.
Yeah.
Get the product in, put it out to market, and have a look. If they have a challenge selling it, then you're going to have a challenge selling it. And so follow that sort of lean startup approach where you test a few things, and suddenly when you realize you're onto something that works, then you start selling it on your own website, taking a bit more marketing and sort of putting a bit more effort in. But before that, use these other channels as like a way for you to dip your toe into this sort of online space, because Takealot takes a lot of the hassle away from this for you. Don't forget to take away like the marketing plus the distribution component. So it's great. But ultimately, you do want to own the customer at the same time, just like Takealot wants to do.
Yeah.
So I think you must always be aware that you want to own the customer. But depending on where your business is in the life cycle, you can start testing things out through these channels and seeing how it goes.
You've raised a really nice point, and it's a conversation that I've had over and over and over again on an ongoing basis because of this online broadcasting world that we live in. The idea of owning data or owning the customer, that's real value there, isn't it?
100%. I think. And that's what Amazon's trying to do in the US. So I think what's interesting is that there's this disintermediational process happening between brands and the customers. Mm. And the people that are getting in the way are like the likes of Amazon. So let's take an example with the Amazon Echo. So it's a little device you put in your house and you can talk to it. And it understands what you're saying. It can do things, switch on the lights. You can ask it to put on TV programs. You can ask it questions about the weather.
Yep.
But one of the things you can do is you can ask it to order products for you. So you can say, hey, Alexa, please order me batteries, AAA batteries.
Yep.
Now, notice how when I order those AAA batteries, I didn't say I want Duracell or Eveready or a particular brand. And so what Amazon then does is Amazon goes, we'll ship them batteries, but we're going to ship them our own brand.
Interesting.
So yeah. I think I can't remember the stats, but like probably like 80% of all battery sales on Amazon are Amazon's own brand.
Oh, wow.
So I think that as Amazon starts identifying these channels or niches where people are becoming less brand aware or they're brand agnostic, Amazon's going to insert itself in there as selecting those brands for you. I think diapers, nappies, charging cables and all those sort of things. And those are things that Amazon can sort of white label their own brands and sell those. And as Amazon starts to own the customer and no longer P&G and Unilever and those brands, I think it becomes quite interesting because Amazon's going to own the customer and the brand and become vertically integrated and then manage the whole process.
It goes back to the question, can you compete with these kind of guys? It's an incredible world that we're living in.
Well, I think it's the world. The world is rife with disruption, we can say. And I mean, if you look back 2 years ago, there was no Amazon Echo, there was no Amazon. I think they've sold 2 million of the devices already. But history tells us that there will be further disruption happening, and what that would look like, we're not sure. But at the same time, they're not in South Africa at the moment, which is also an opportunity. And I think there's other things that you can do to differentiate yourself from the Amazons. I think that like customer service, unique experience, there's lots of other ways to differentiate yourself rather than price, because that's not what it's about.
So what are three of the biggest mistakes you see e-commerce platforms or businesses that are trying to go into the e-commerce space making on an ongoing basis? What are you seeing reoccurring?
Well, the reoccurring theme we see is that they try to do everything themselves.
Okay.
So when you're an online retail business and you try to do everything yourself, it's not the best way to go about it because you can't be the expert in every field.
Yeah, so in the case of Parcel Ninja, let you be the specialist there. But what other areas are there that we are certainly from an e-commerce perspective maybe making mistakes in? So from a transaction processing perspective, something that's a specialist?
I think the starting point is being realistic of what the business is about and owning that. I think that's key to the whole thing. So knowing what it is and what it isn't is imperative. In other words, we're not trying to build an Amazon business. We're trying to build this the same applies to Cliff Central. You're not trying to be all things to all people. You're trying to target a specific market with a specific value proposition. And so the same thing applies to your stores. Just understand what you're trying to do first. The next thing is don't try to do it all yourself. I'm not saying outsource everything, but you've got to outsource the stuff that's been commoditized and that's not core to the business. So the likes of if you need a little bit of help with Google, let someone teach you a little bit about it or read about it and then do it yourself. If you want help with logistics, maybe let us do it or read a little bit about it and try to do some of that, but get a competency in it first. But we can outsource that stuff. In other words, don't go and build your e-commerce site yourself. Just go onto one of these websites where they've got someone to do it, pay a little bit of money and get it done for you. But once they've done it, learn what they've done so you are sort of au fait with it, because you need to have a competency in it, but choose not to do it, if I can say that.
Yeah, I understand.
So you don't want to be incorrectly, you don't want people to incorrectly price the products or services to you. So you need to know what they're actually doing. So you need quite a broad knowledge of what's happening, but you can't do it all yourself. You won't have time. So outsource what you can to people that you know are competent in that space. Understand what they're doing so that you can question what they're doing. And do a lot of reading of what others have done. That's also the key. There's a lot of knowledge out there. Just copy what they're doing. But the truth is that 99% of the stuff has actually been done before. You're not reinventing anything here. Mm. It's online retail. It's not that challenging. And so copy what other people are doing. Replicate. Use what they've got. And just go with that. What we see time and time again are guys trying to do all the things themselves, but outsourcing it without knowing what it's actually about, if I can say that. So pack a few boxes yourself, understand what you're getting yourself into, and then get rid of it as soon as you can. Get a little bit of a competency in it, but don't do the work yourself.
We have unfortunately run out of time with you, Justin, but it's been a fascinating conversation. We appreciate it. One question before we part company, and that is, when is Parcel Ninja going to start using drones?
Not in the foreseeable future, but who knows? We actually toyed around and looked at some of the opportunities. I think drones are becoming more prolific than people realize, and that's quite interesting. I think you should have a bit of a talk around that. I don't think people realize how much it's going to change the landscape, but it's not something we looked at yet in South Africa. It's not something we need. Mm. But I have actually, when I was in San Francisco dealing with guys in the rest of Africa, they're starting to do it.
Yeah.
Funny enough. But I mean, I guess that's for medicine or emergency equipment. So I think there's definitely room for it, but not something that we're looking at.
When you do release your first drone,
come
here first. Just don't bring it, because I'm a little concerned about this idea of AI and automation and then taking drones over the world.
Yeah. Don't worry. We're at the bottom of the queue.
Justin Drennan, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Justin Drennan from Parcel Ninja. If you want to find out more, where do they go?
parcelninja.com.
There we go. Nice and easy.
Cheers, guys.
We'll see you same time, same place next week. Have a good rest of your day. cliffcentral.com